Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. If you're not signed up for our newsletter, you should be. One-stop shopping for everything we do in the previous 24 hours. It's free. Over 50,000 people taking advantage. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner and enter your email address. No, we don't sell your data. And you'll get an email every single day updating you on what we've done the previous 24 hours. Also, thecommonsenseshow.tv. People love it. We're getting ready to make another major story dump over there. And you know what we do there. Hiding in plain sight, geopolitics, and our interviews. Go to thecommonsenseshow.tv. Hey, we are brought to you by Noble Gold. And I have to tell you, if you don't listen to what I'm saying right here, you are going to regret it. This story will highlight why you need to be out of the bank to a large extent. I didn't say totally, but I'm saying the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 UCC Section 8, they can take your money. They don't now because they're making a lot of money loaning your money out. But when these banks reach more of a crisis threshold, and 66 banks are on the edge of folding now, according to the Federal Reserve, when more join the party, your funds are at risk. So is your retirement. Noble Gold can place your retirement and back it with gold and silver. It'll be under your control, and no one can take it from you. It's really the way to go. Now, the FTC wants me to tell you there are absolutely no guarantees, and you should check into things thoroughly before making a commitment. We agree with that. They should also extend that warning and have a sign over every bank. We own your money when you put it in the bank. And that's true. You're in second place according to the laws of this nation, which I think are unconstitutional, but they're standing as of now. So how do you get started with Noble Gold? How do you protect yourself from this really nebulous financial future, including what we're going to talk about right here in developments in CBDC, which is scary? Noble Gold's the antidote. I've been a customer for almost 8 years. I've been an advertiser for almost 9 years. I have complete confidence in this company. They will never pressure you. Call 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. And if you forget that, just go to DaveHodgesGold.com. CBDCs are being tested and some have been implemented, like in Nigeria. But 114 nations are involved. This has the full backing of the UN, which should make all of you not want to do this. But it's really, really scary with CBDC. I've been sounding the alarm about this for a couple of years now. In fact, I spoke at a December 2023 Clay Clark conference in California specifically on this point. And all the things that we've heard that were discussed and said, this is your future world coming out of the World Economic Forum and other organizations. This is how they'll control it. This is how they'll do it. So we're going to develop that right here, right now. And I'm just going to say this, when CBDC comes in, your freedom is over. You will be a serf. Let me make the analogy back to medieval and the Middle Ages times. If you were a serf, and that was over 90% of the population in the Middle Ages, if you were a serf, you worked on the land, you produced crop, you had to give it to the authorities, the knights, the bishops, ultimately the king, and then they would give you a pittance back, and many times not even enough to feed your family. And you were drafted into their wars and on and on and on. You had no freedom. You had no savings. You had no control over anything. You got to go to church, but they conducted the services in Latin, and these people didn't speak Latin. Only the elite spoke Latin. There was no education. There was no social mobility, no economic mobility. Social stratification held these people in place. It was a miserable experience. Well, we're on the edge of financial serfdom, all of the feudal system. Another word for it is fascism. Let's get down to the problems. First of all, you're working at your job. Your money is not paid to a bank, as in direct deposit, or given to you in the form of a check. It goes directly into a government-controlled account. The government will become the bank. You will be prevented from doing what people do today with discipline, which is save, moderately invest in conservative endeavors, and gradually build up your nest egg over time. By the way, do you know the number three profession where people become millionaires? You know what that is? It's teaching. And you're saying, Dave, how could that be? Teachers don't make $100,000 a year. That's correct. About a third of future millionaires don't make over $100,000 a year. And teachers are certainly there. But what are teachers? Well, they're dedicated. They follow strict and rigid plans on how to educate. There's a system. They know how to be disciplined. They have to be disciplined, but they also have to be flexible to deal with various personalities. And you say, wow. And teachers are number three in terms of future millionaires. And that's because of that attribute. It's not so much the money you make, but it's the money that you keep. And that's important. And the discipline is there. Well, CBDC will take that discipline away. They are intending to stop all savings. Now you're saying, you mean I won't have a savings account? Oh, yes, you will. You just won't have control over it. Let me explain. First of all, the system will work nothing but on digital policies. Now, did you know today that only 13% of all transactions involve cash? Do you know that ATMs are missing from many neighborhoods now? They try to redirect to the digital. This is basically entrapping people in the system. But here's where this gets dangerous. We've talked to you about the concept of 15-minute cities. And we've all said, well, people won't agree to this. I mean, they're not going to be geographically restricted. What can they fly was one time every 5 years was the proposal out of the World Economic Forum and later the UN. Oh, we have to save on carbon emissions. So they're going to limit international travel. Well, you want to purchase an international ticket, it'll just be denied. No customer service, no appeal, no nothing. It's just you're not going. And they're going to geographically restrict your purchases. This is how they entrap you in the 15-minute cities. Let's say it's a combination of four zip codes, and you can be in four zip codes, and that's it. And how do I say that's it? Oh, you might be able to physically walk and cross a barrier. They're not going to have guards. But digitally, you won't be able to spend your money or make purchases outside your concentric zone. That's how the system's designed to work. And you're saying, well, Dave, how do you know that? It's already in effect in two communities in the UK. They're already doing 15-minute cities, and they put geographic restrictions on your purchases, as well as the other flip side of it, your savings. Now, you're saying, okay, well, I want to get ahead, and I want to save, and I want to have a rainy day fund, and I want this, and I want that. So I got to have a savings account to do it. Well, that's not going to last real long. They are going to give you expiration dates on your savings. Now, this runs in line with what I said, good old Miss Ursula of the European Union, what she said, and I reported on it several months ago, that they were going to take savings that were just lying dormant and doing nothing. Well, that's what savings does. And then you use it when you need it. But they want to take that money and they want to use it to build a European army. And she's been very explicit about this and saying, wow. And so I began to search, is there anything like that here in America? And yes, there is. The big five banks all have policies on dormant savings account, and they vary. One of the banks, like Bank of America, if your money's not touched in a savings account for 6 months, they can confiscate it. And the same thing is true for Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase. They all have differential times, but you no longer can just infinitely store money and they won't touch it. That's a fact. And this is eliminating savings. Now, this accomplishes a couple of things. Number one, it accomplishes competition from the non-elite with the elite. The way that we have become wealthy as a middle class, globally speaking, is our savings. And we pass it on to the next generation. And the next generation lives a higher life standard of living than the previous generation. And we called that the American dream. The house, the white picket fence, the two cars in every garage, and a savings account. Well, they're going to eliminate your savings. You'll have, let's say you have $100 in the bank to keep it in round simple numbers. And you'll be notified, $50 of yours will expire next month. You have 15 days to spend that money. And they can direct that purchase into any area they want. Now, we also heard, and a big deal was made about this, and Biden made significant inroads into destroying the chicken egg industry in this country, as well as the beef industry. And it was in preparation for bringing in CBDC and having another president out of that mindset, namely Kamala Harris. Well, that didn't happen, but the movement marches forward. And what they will do is they will limit what you can buy in terms of food. We heard out of the World Economic Forum, your days of eating beef and eggs, they're over. I don't know why they want to, well, I do know why they want to take protein away from us. If you know the function of protein, it makes perfect sense. But they want to eliminate those purchases. Well, if everything is digital and you can't pay cash, which is private, then you can be blocked from buying this. Or maybe we'll let you have a steak, a 6 ounce steak every 30 days. And that's probably what they'll do. They think that'll limit the uprising that could take place from this. But they can limit your food purchases. They can also geographically restrict you where, as I said, where you spend the money. If you're outside your combined zip codes, well, your digital doesn't work. Access denied. So they're locking you into financially a financial digital prison without walls, but it's all digitally based. They will also deduct your taxes instantly when you are paid because it goes to the government. The government will be the bank. Will it be the Federal Reserve? I don't know, but it'll be something like the Federal Reserve. So your taxes will be gone. And then here's the scary thing. I always worry about governments creating lists of undesirable people. And they've happened through the years. You had the J stamp for the Jewish people in Nazi Germany. And we've had the Tutsis and so forth in Rwanda. We have seen the use of identifications for the purposes of, in some cases, genocide, other cases, minimal discrimination to maximum discrimination, denial of service, denial of privilege, denial of rights. And a system like this can discriminate. And it can also build profiles on people. If you go to Starbucks and you throw down your $20 bill in the morning, the government doesn't know you've been there. And then you go and pay for your laundry in cash, they don't know what you've done. And you buy groceries and you use your credit card, well, they know that you've bought certain groceries and they know what they are. With digital, every single purchase you make will be a matter of public record. And this is how you construct profiles. Who's naughty? Who's nice? Who can we trust? And they get these algorithms. They already exist. The NSA has a 16-point scale. They don't like talking about it, and I've had sources tell me this. They simply won't reveal the contents of the 16 subdivisions of ratings because it's classified. And if they gave that to me, we'd both be in trouble. But I know the system exists. It's based largely on a big psychological test we call the MMPI. And it rates personality on 16 dimensions, and then you get an aggregate score of functionality. Well, how about you get an aggregate score of threat to the state? And that becomes the basis for a list. See, when the government begins to have this much control and this much knowledge over you and this much surveillance, we all have to ask the question, why? And you say, well, Dave, why should we ask why? And I would say, maybe you didn't get the historical education you needed in high school and you need to go back and refresh yourself because this is scary. This is really scary. In our next segment, we're going to tell you about suggestions for countering this system. Yes, protesting and marching and so forth, yeah, that could be part of it. But there are concrete steps that you can take today before the system locks you in. And the system is coming. And what scares me about this is Peter Thiel is very enmeshed in this. And Trump has embraced Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel promoted the career of J.D. Vance. I'm concerned. I'm not saying there is anything that'll be nefarious coming out of this. I'm saying the potential exists. And we should all be nervous about CBDC because it is financial and eventually personal enslavement. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And, you know, I keep coming back to the Caitlin Clark issue, and not just because I have a basketball background, but because this is about, at least symbolically, what's wrong with America. The extreme jealousy, the pettiness, the drawing sides along certain demographic lines divides this country rather than honors it. I compare her to when LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird came into the NBA. They were not treated this way. And now things have surfaced that make us think that there's something more going on with Caitlin Clark's month-long absence from play than we're being told. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. Skip Bayless, formerly of ESPN, is his own show. I went to X, pulled up a clip. We're going to play it for you. And I'm going to give you a little more than I think what Skip says. Hey, brought to you by the Nanosoma Spray. Boost your immune system to unbelievable levels. You can read all about it. I'll give you the where to go in just a minute. Rub this on your sore joints, aging bones. This creates pluripotent stem cells, the Nanosoma Gel. Erases fine lines and wrinkles. You know what it did for my cut that needed stitches, and I didn't get them. 2 weeks later, I was just fine. Together, these are the three-pack. It's a starter pack. You get three of the sprays and one of each of the other two. 15% off retail. I owe these products my life. I don't mix words with this. This is absolutely true. I owe, particularly the spray, I owe this my life. And thank you, Scotty Sachs, for bringing this to me. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. This is Skip Bayless on X and from his show. He used to be prominent on ESPN, but during the age of woke, he was a casualty. Let's go ahead and play what he has to say about Caitlin Clark's injury, and then I'm going to elaborate on this.
It's Caitlin Clark saga. Just gets stranger and stranger. I just find Caitlin's entire second season just inexplicably baffling. Think about this. She had played 185 straight games through college in her rookie WNBA season. 185 straight without missing one because of injury. And now this season, she has missed games four different times with various leg pulls, including the last seven and the All-Star game and the All-Star weekend in her house in Indy. And there's no timetable for her return from this groin pull, so the team says. And don't look now, but her Indiana Fever have won five in a row to rise to 17-12. That's fifth best in the league. And yep, I'm sure her critics, many of them veteran WNBA players, are now rolling their eyes and saying, told you, overrated. Not so fast. The Fever were 8-5 with Caitlin Clark, and they're now 9-7 without Caitlin Clark. Hey, you put Caitlin Clark back at the controls of this team with this depth, and the Fever could win it all. They could. They could win it all. 15 games remain before the playoffs commence on September 14th. So the clock is ticking, if not running out, on Caitlin Clark. But of course, if she did return and she did take over this team and she did take it on a deep playoff run, that would have to be a healthy Caitlin, healthy physically, healthy mentally. And I have no idea what is really going on with her body or her mind. Is it?
He doesn't go into what I'm going to tell you here. There is a conspiracy against Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. And I can say this unequivocally. It's obvious for everyone to see. The FBI is even looking into it. I've never heard of the FBI looking into something like this before. But in the clips and the partial games I've been able to watch, she is beat on every single night. I don't mean physical play. You get up and you chest bump, you hand check, that kind of thing. Okay. She's taking cheap shots that would get players in other basketball leagues thrown out of the game and suspended. And this happens on almost a routine basis. A couple of her teammates have stepped up to defend her, Sophie Cunningham being the most notable, and now she's receiving the same treatment. And she's been suspended and fined for speaking out against what's happened to Caitlin. But it's on film for all to see. There's no one looking at this saying it's not happening or it's just normal physical play. It's dirty play. You know, getting elbowed in the face coming off a screen, being jumped on when she's on the floor with the ball and there's no foul. And when she's waiting for an inbounds pass and the ball goes away from her, away from the action, player comes in and makes an open field tackle, and nothing happens but a foul. And then, of course, gouging the eyes twice, JC. Dirty, dirty player. I could go on and on and on. I've shown the clips. I think she's had it. Maybe she'll come back. Maybe she won't. But we're not seeing a normal progression from an injury like this. And she's got the European contract sitting in front of her, and she just might be thinking about giving the big middle finger adios to the WNBA, and who could blame her? And she's responsible for half their revenue. She leaves, it's over. When it was announced she wasn't playing in the All-Star game, ticket sales, well, there weren't any. You couldn't give a ticket away. She is the draw of the league, and these other people in the league, including her own coach, and I'll talk about that in a minute, they have retreated to the position of extreme jealousy and jealousy of her contracts, multi-million dollar contracts that she's signing with various corporations. And they're not getting many of the same kind of endorsements. And they're showing their pettiness in the league by abusing the living heck out of her in a way I have never seen. I've been in basketball since I was 5 years old, played in high school, played in college. Coached in high school, coached in college, two-year scout, NBA. And I got to tell you, I have never seen it. Never. Not even close. I've seen dirty plays. But night after night after night after night against the same player. And then we take her coach, Stephanie White. She's part of it. She has changed Caitlin's role to minimize her numbers. Caitlin, the tremendous shooter she is from the logo, looking like Steph Curry, the best shooter in the NBA, maybe the best shooter ever in the NBA. She is the female equivalent, and he has said so. And it's funny, Charles Barkley is speaking more forcefully on this than I am. But her coach has taken her skill of shooting and says, oh, we need more of this, okay? And she's tried to take her off the ball. I think she has such gravity and she draws so much attention on the court. Her playmaking ability is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So why would you take her off the ball? Because she makes the other players around her better because she commands so much attention. That, first of all, that's stupid coaching, and it minimizes Caitlin's numbers, and I think that might be the objective. I mean, look at this. It's hard for me to criticize a lot of coaches. You've got to really, really screw up for me to criticize a coach. Walk a mile in my shoes. I know how hard the job is. And you never know the dynamics of a team unless you're inside of that team. But what I'm seeing, you know, from the outside looking in, makes zero sense from a basketball perspective. You don't take away someone's best skill. I mean, that's what's happening in this league. And then, of course, the commissioner of the league should be putting the word out to the referees, hey, there's a dirty foul on Caitlin Clark. It's a technical foul. And if it rises to a flagrant two, not only is there going to be an ejection, there's going to be a suspension. That's the way it is in any league. But instead, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And like I said, now Sophie Cunningham is becoming the object of extreme abuse. This is a league, honestly, that deserves to fail. And I think it's sad in some ways because the skill level, since I saw the first few games in the WNBA back in the 90s, skill level compared to now is not even close. The improvement is off the charts. And I'm not saying every player is this way, but enough of them are, I have to blame the league for not coming down. If someone was suspended and they lost money and then they got fined, this would stop. The league seems to be fine. I hope Caitlin is sitting back and she's just saying, I don't want to go back there. And we'll do this quietly. I'll hide behind my injury. I'll go to Europe. Adios, WNBA. I agree with Skip Bayless. Totally agree with what he's saying here. I just don't think he takes it far enough from a strategic standpoint. But he's never coached. I have. And maybe this is why I get into the analysis of how she's being used on the court. And here's what disturbs me, too. Sophie Cunningham has stepped up and has delivered, shall we say, dirty plays against opposing players who've abused Caitlin Clark. Where's the rest of her team? What a crappy teammate you are if you won't stand up for your teammate. You see it in baseball, and I don't condone this, but this is how it works in baseball. You hit one of ours with a pitch intentionally, we're hitting one of yours. Now, Major League Baseball hands out ejections and fines like crazy for this. Why isn't the WNBA? Because the league is second rate, and it's stuck in its own personality dysfunctions from the leadership on down to the officials. I, as an official, could not referee a game and have to swallow my whistle when Caitlin gets abused. I don't care who the player is. That's not what the game's about. And you know what's funny? I remember when Caitlin Clark, and I'll close with this, she made a bad play and she slapped the backboard's protection mat. She just, boom. Normal frustration. It's like a basketball player doing that on the floor. Same thing. I'm mad at myself. I'm not mad at anybody else. I'm frustrated with me. That was a stupid play. And the referee gave her a technical foul in the same game where she's standing away from the ball and gets tackled. And she's not even involved in the play. And that same official was the official that was there and did not call a technical foul or a flagrant two. This is what's wrong with our country. Too many overtones here in the WNBA that's reflective of the problems that permeate our country. They say sports is a reflection of society. We're seeing the sickness of our society reflected in the WNBA. And folks, here's the way you fix it. Wish Caitlin well. Go to Europe. Forget these people. Let their ratings sink. And then the NBA that gives them $50 million a year is going to have to decide how much more money they're willing to give them, because the NBA ratings were down 57% this year. This party ain't going to go on forever. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time. Hello, everybody. And to our friends around the world, welcome. We have a growing international audience. We appreciate you guys being here. And our struggle is your struggle. And we're struggling economically. I know this administration's feverishly trying to dig out of the mess that was created for them. And we are going to talk about one of those possible solutions in the world of crypto. And we have Guy Gottschalk on with us from My Digital Money. And man, oh, man, oh, man, do we have a lot of important points to talk about. Guy, I want to welcome you back to the show. Always like having you on. A lot of people that I know are considering Bitcoin and Ethereum and XRP, where they didn't even know what these things were 6 months ago. And I'm hearing a lot of this. So I think this is really, really timely as people kind of weigh what they should be doing. So let me just start off with a real simple point here. Why are major institutions rotating from Bitcoin into Ethereum into altcoins right now? What's driving the shift?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be here. And yeah, I think we're seeing a kind of a alt season, what people in the crypto industry call alt season, which means that the altcoins, anything other than Bitcoin, grow at a fast rate, much faster than Bitcoin. It's a phenomena that's happened where, liquidity starts with Bitcoin because that's the most trusted, biggest cryptocurrency, and then it flows onto into altcoins. And we're seeing all kinds of technical indicators, showing that we're approaching altcoin season, and we see kind of the dominance of Bitcoin decreasing, just 5% from 65% to 60% is actually a lot, over the past couple weeks. So that means that altcoins are kind of starting to be in focus here, and
Yeah.
Ethereum is of course the largest altcoin, right? It's the second cryptocurrency, and I think institutions kind of are wanting to see more growth. They obviously got a taste of, amazing growth, and with Bitcoin and Ethereum is kind of next, right? They want to diversify and not just have, Bitcoin. Ethereum is an institutional player, meaning that its technology is used within institutions, right? There's real adoption, real use cases there. We have big banks and all kinds of reputable companies that are using Ethereum, and also buying into, the Bitcoin ETF. There's an ETF for Ethereum as well, right? And that's another thing that gives it legitimacy. You have other altcoins like XRP and other like Solana that will probably have an ETF soon, right? You have some potential filings coming in the near term. But Ethereum has an ETF, so naturally that one is it's kind of the next move, right?
What's
And
the
so,
important part about having an ETF with these?
well, an ETF is just, it's a way for accredited investors to invest, and for people to invest like you do in the stock market, right? And you're not investing in Bitcoin or Ethereum, whatever the asset is directly. You are investing in an exchange traded fund, which follows the price of Bitcoin. So, these institutions buy Bitcoin and put it in a fund, and then you can buy into that, right? And so you're not holding it directly, but you get exposure, right? And you have a vehicle that you can invest in. Like, you don't have to sign up with an exchange or a company like MyDigitalMoney, which but we make it easy, by the way. So
You do.
a lot of companies don't. And so, people that are already investing in the stock market and are used to investing in ETFs can just do that, right? They don't have to go and sign up with a new company. So that's the advantage of it. But there's also a lot of disadvantages too. When you own it directly, you have more security there, right? Because you own it directly. So you have more control over it, and there's no opportunity for the company that is managing it to mismanage, right? So yeah, there's advantages and disadvantages of doing it that way, but one thing it does do for the industry is it gives more liquidity into Bitcoin and altcoins. So it helps the price, and that's the only thing I like about it.
Well, it
As an
helps the
investor
price.
who's
That's
trying to
what,
retire, right? Who's trying
yeah,
to,
that's what the investors want to hear. That's for darn sure. But here's the way I'm seeing it too. A lot of talk about gold standard bringing crypto in, and they got to bring crypto in, I think, to either save the dollar or replace it in part with something else. But I look at this, I'm saying it's becoming so big in the crypto industry that the government's going to be dragged into it, whether they want to or not. But it looks like Trump already recognizes that because of the Genius Act. Can you address that?
yeah, I mean, so Trump has been pro crypto since he was campaigning, and
Yes.
he spoke at the Bitcoin conference that we all pay attention to, and said he wants to make America the crypto capital of the world. I've talked about that on your show before, and he's really put his money where his mouth is. He put a crypto task force together, or whatever he called it, where he hosts summits at the White House with industry leaders, and legislation has been a top priority. And so we just passed the first bill last month, which is called the Genius Act. That's basically regulation for stable coins. And stable coins, I might have mentioned in your last show, essentially it is a cryptocurrency that's pegged to fiat currency. So for the U.S., it's the U.S. dollar. And so if you buy, 100 USDT, which is Tether, that's one of the biggest stable coins, they're backed by dollars one-to-one or, U.S. treasuries. So they're backed one-to-one. And that's part of what the regulation addresses, is that whoever is issuing stable coins has to back up each coin with a physical, asset that is equivalent to the dollar, right? And that's part of the regulation, but it just aims to make it safer for people to invest or buy stable coins. And stable coin is basically a digital dollar, but it's not issued by the Fed. It's issued by a lot of different issuers. And it essentially extends the dollar, right? You can, sorry about that.
It's okay. Yeah, I agree with you, it extends the dollar. I totally agree with that. You know what it reminds me of, Guy? It reminds me of the old gold standard, putting some backing into the dollar.
Yeah. You can do a lot with stable coins in terms of, there's a lot of what we call DeFi applications being developed that allow people to, let's say lend money to one another, or there's all kinds of different use cases, and you can do that more easily. You can take advantage of that. There's a lot you can build with stable coins, and you can transfer money, instantaneously across borders, and there's a lot you can do. And so it really strengthens the kind of status of the dollar as a world reserve asset, world reserve currency, that is. So it is good for the dollar, I think. And the next legislation that is being worked on is the market structure bill, which will provide a regulatory framework to the broader crypto market. So not just stable coins, but Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all coins.
Okay.
So that's next. And a lot of people believe that will be passed around, October or sometime in the fourth quarter of the year.
Can we back up to the stable coin for a second?
Yeah.
My only concern, and I've expressed this, stable coin can't be allowed to be the only. We need to have these others in here too. And the reason being is President Trump, he's trying to help me. So I don't fear him doing anything to me. But President Trump won't be president forever. We don't know down the line who's going to be there. And if stablecoin gets to be the dominant and these others go away or so minimized that stablecoin could be used with social credit and other kinds of nonsense to control people. Have you looked at that at all? Do you think that crypto is going to remain viably large and not squeezed out by stablecoin?
So are you referring to basically stablecoin being used essentially as a central bank digital currency where centralized and the government is controlling it? Well, yes, there's always that that risk, but it is mitigated because there's not one issuer, right? If it was one issuer and that is what a CBDC is, central bank digital currency, it would be essentially the Fed mm-hmm. releasing its own digital currency, and it controls it. So it can, seize it, or it can monitor it and basically stop your transactions. But with stable coins, you have all kinds of different issuers, and it could be a bank, but it could also be, any company like PayPal has also released its own stable coin. Ripple, which is XRP, the company behind XRP also released its own stable coin. Right. And so, if it's fragmented, then it becomes much harder to control. Yes, you can imagine that there'll be some, very left administrations in the future that would, pass some regulation where, they have to control these issuers, and, it's just like right now, the banks, right? Like the government can come in under certain conditions. They can freeze your account or audit your account. But it is not as easy for them to do, as if they actually had a central currency. So,
well, the one thing I see with this, and you really just touched on it too, I agree with you, what you just said, future administrations could be left-leaning, more government control. And I think that the other types of crypto, They need to become like the firearms lobby people, like GOA and so forth. They got to have really strong lobbies to not allow a singular consolidation under the house of one digital. And right now, I mean, the industry is healthy, it's good, it's growing, and it's terrific. But I think we need to look ahead and say, how do we protect it?
Yeah, and I agree. And we can pass legislation, and we can also, you know, create technology in such a way that it's harder to, you know, have a central player control it. There are things you can do, you know, on the technology side. But I don't think it's any different than how we have it right now with the banks, right? Banks basically are holding your dollar. You know, I think if anything, it's going to make it harder to control because, you know, you're going to have so many more issuers. It's not just the big banks, but you have all kinds of issuers.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So, I mean, it's the same risk that we have now, right?
Well, Guy, it's interesting you'd bring up the banks. I trust my digital money. And I think the crypto industry, except for Sam Bankman-Fried, which was an anomaly, I think the industry is honorable and it's above board and I don't have reservations. I don't trust a bank. Crypto just can't steal your money. Okay. Not without legal consequences. The banks under Dodd-Frank and UCC Section 8 can take your money when they want. The only reason they don't is because they're solvent right now to a large degree and they can loan it out. So they want that money to keep coming in and no one will if they're taking money. So I don't trust the banks farther than I can throw them. I do trust the alternatives.
Well, I appreciate you saying that you trust my digital money.
I do. Yeah. And you know, and you know, I hold gold too, and I trust that company. And I just got to be honest with you. I keep operating capital in the bank. We do a little investing. We're in a credit union. They're better than most, but we look to go outside of the banking industry, because if the banks go south and they take your money like 1929, I don't want all my eggs in one basket. And right. I mean, and to me, if I'm thinking like an investor, if there's no other reason to get involved in alternatives, it's not to trust the banks.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, that's a big, big reason. It's also, you know, for me, crypto is about the growth too, because, you know, it's harder and harder to retire for many Americans. You know, many people just wonder, is my IRA or my retirement account going to cut it?
Yeah.
And, you know, while gold is great and it helps protect you, and silver is, you know, better from a growth perspective, it still might not be enough on its own. So I think it's really healthy to have part of your portfolio be in crypto, because you need that kind of growth to be able to retire right now with the amount of, you know, devaluation happening in our fiat system, right? So I think it's the growth that, and then also the fact that it's outside of the government, you know, it protects you, you know, both from devaluation of the dollar, but also, you know, like from control, you can control your own money. So it's
well, what Trump is doing, crypto could help the dollar, because that kind of leads me into my next question. The government's building a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Okay. And so Bitcoin is kind of taken the, well, I'm not saying it's taken the place of gold. I'm going to say at minimum, it's standing alongside gold, but it's acting as a backing instrument for the economy.
Yeah. I think Trump is really trying to figure out how to make it work with the dollar. And I've always said this, you know, it's not one or the other. I think that you can look at how they can play together. And I think that that is what Trump is trying to do. And I think it's really smart, you know, using it as a strategic reserve asset, you know, just like you would have gold, right, as a reserve asset, is smart to reduce the deficit, right, and, you know, to protect, just like you as an individual, you should be protecting yourself, right, and diversifying as a government. You know, why not? Why not do that?
That's diversification smart. Is almost always a good idea, not in marriage, but just about in everything else, and certainly financially.
Okay. Yeah, not in marriage.
Little tongue-in-cheek comment there.
Yeah.
You know, anniversary's coming up in a couple of months, and I'm thinking of presents. Oh. So that probably prompted that comment. But I got to tell you, I don't trust very much, and this is why diversification's good. And when you're the new kid on the block, you have to prove yourself more than the existing structures. Like a rookie coming into a professional league, it's the same thing. And I look at like your business practices and some of the other companies that I've dealt with that are alternatives, they're above board. I mean, they go out of their way to be above board. And like I said, my credit union's pretty darn good, but it's still a bank.
So, and a lot of people like to hold their own crypto in their own wallet, and that's great. We hold people's assets in cold storage, so we manage it for them, and I think that's even better in my eyes. I mean, everyone has their own way of seeing it, but keeping your crypto on a hard drive in your house, it's like keeping money
I wouldn't do it.
under the mattress. There is a risk there.
Yeah.
Like when my wife and I moved to this beautiful neighborhood in California, we thought it was the safest neighborhood, but our house got burglarized the first week. This is what's happening in California. I mean, but it's if I had my hard drive somewhere, I mean, they really went through every crevice of the house, right? To find jewelry they were looking for. But I'm sure that these days they're going to be looking for hard drives, knowing that there is crypto, right? This is a growing way to hold your crypto. But what we do is we hold it for you, in cold storage, in a secure facility. So I think that a lot of people could benefit from doing it that way. So it's kind of like, but you still own your crypto. That's the beautiful thing here, is that legally it's yours, and auditors make sure that it's there, that we can't lend it out or do anything with it. You're not an unsecured creditor like with Coinbase and a lot of other exchanges. So I think, when you're trying to save for retirement, right, and you finally find an asset that can keep up and allow you to retire, you want to make sure you keep it. So that's
Yeah.
very important when you're choosing a company.
No, I totally agree. In fact, that kind of leads me into my last question here. So the audience is listening to this and go, yeah, I see the trend and I agree with Dave on the banks and cash and the dollar's in trouble. So how does the average American take advantage of this?
Yeah, so I think first, you want to learn about it and not just invest blindly. And so that's where also My Digital Money comes in. We have people that are US based. You can ask questions even about what, a cryptocurrency is, right? What is Chainlink? What is Ethereum? What are the pros and cons of investing in it? We also have a lot of resources. So you first want to like learn about it. But I'd say like Bitcoin and Ethereum are the two that, are a good idea to start with, because they have the most liquidity. They're much less volatile than they used to be. They're still volatile compared to other assets, but out of all the cryptocurrencies,
Yeah.
they're not as volatile. I mean, if you look at Bitcoin, it hit four all-time highs in the past, few months. And each time, like, there was a correction, but the correction at first was like 19%, then it went to like something like 12%, then 8%. And lately it's been, 4 or 5% after the latest all-time high. So it's starting to kind of swing a little bit less. But it's also a finite, resource. So there's a finite supply. That's why they say it's like digital gold. So I think that one is a good idea to start with. And then you have a bunch of other altcoins we can, educate you on. But dollar cost average is a good way to do it if you're afraid of where we are in the market. I still think we're not at the all-time high yet. Like in the fourth quarter, we can get there.
I don't even think even close, Guy. I mean, you mentioned the rarity because there's only so much to mine. What happens when it's all mined? The price is going to be astronomical.
Right. Yeah, but a lot of people think that there's, these 4-year cycles. So you go to, from a bull market to a bear market. We might break that this time. So of course it's going to keep going up in
Yeah.
the long run, right? But it depends what your goal is. If you're retiring in 10, 15 years, it doesn't matter as much when you get in. But, if you want to have money in 5 years, then you might want a dollar cost average, so that, you're managing the price that you're buying in. So that's one way to do it in a more safe way, right? And you can start little, right? And then keep investing. And that's a lot of people think that you have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You don't. You can buy $10 worth. So that's where I've seen a lot of people not invest, because they think that they need to invest. Whatever the price of Bitcoin is 118,000 now, right? So I need to have 118,000. That's what people think, but that's not the case.
No, it's not. I know that's not the case, and I'm so glad you said that. And that could be a question that when people would call My Digital Money, they could ask the rep. and they'd be able to elaborate on that quite clearly. Yeah, your reps are well trained. I like the fact that you don't get the I'd be helping you very much, and my name's Bob. God bless those people, but I want to deal with American based. I do. It's we don't want computer tech kind of help.
Yeah, and our company, we only cater to the U.S. because obviously IRAs, are only here in the U.S.,
Sure.
but we also
Talk
do
about that
standard
for a
accounts.
second. You mentioned IRAs. How can people use crypto in combination with their IRAs?
Yeah, so essentially you can transfer or roll over your IRA to, us. And we use a custodian that's been around since 1974 to administer the IRA. They're called Equity Trust, and they have over 70 billion of assets under management. So they're well diversified. They're fully qualified custodian. And so they would be, when you open an account with us on our platform, under the hood, you're opening the IRA with them. And then, so you then transfer over your IRA, let's say from Fidelity or wherever you have it. And then you see it appear in the platform, just like you would on an exchange. You see you have a balance, and then you can just go ahead and purchase on your own, right? You can press a few buttons to buy, Bitcoin, Ethereum. You can also get on the phone with us. We can walk you through it, or make the trade for you. But yeah, it's very easy to trade. And so, yeah, you just have to go through kind of a IRA transfer process. And you can also contribute new funds, every year as well as allowed by IRS guidelines. So, you can connect your bank account, and then transfer in, money from your bank account too.
That's interesting. With regard to cashing out, it's like Ethereum, and you're not going to take the whole thing, but you want to maybe get part of it because you're going to buy a car, for example. Okay. Can they do that through My Digital Money? And I'm asking the question for those that don't know the answer.
Yeah, you can sell at any time, any amount, right? So, I mean, if you have it in an IRA, obviously you have to take a distribution.
There's considerations there. Yeah. But I'm just
Yeah,
saying in
and if you have a
general.
Roth IRA, there's no taxes when you take it out, right? So, but you could get a penalty if you do it before, you retire. But, if you're in retirement age, you can take a distribution, tax-free if it's a Roth IRA. And so that is amazing because, when you combine that kind of growth with, these tax advantages, you get like this compound growth that's amazing, right? Maybe next time I'll share some numbers. I mean, we all heard the story of Peter Thiel, who started, I forget with how much, hundreds of thousands or something in his IRA, and it ended up being billions. But, for that to happen, you have to sell, when you're at the height of the market, then buy back in and do that a few times. And you can get some amazing growth.
We got my son to do that as a youngster, and now he's a young adult, and I can't believe how quickly it's growing. It's really the right thing to do. Guy, you've really answered a lot of questions. Let's give people a way to contact you. Let's start with an easy phone number.
Yeah, it's 833-636-2008. And that's again 833-MDM 2008. We always say to avoid another 2008. That's why Bitcoin was created. So we thought that would be a nice way to remember the number. And you can go to mydigitalmoney.com, and we are, the number's there on the site too. And you can chat with us. We also have like a chat window as well. So yeah, feel free to visit the website.
And then we go mydigitalmoney.com. That's really easy. But that number again is 833-636-2008. And
Correct.
I'll tell you, we've really covered a lot of ground very concisely here. I think it's something people really need to look at. Folks, you put your faith in cash, it's going to be trash. And that's not
I
a
like
negative
that.
prognostication. It's the trend that we're already in. But Guy, I want to thank you for coming on. It's always great to have you on to assess these current trends and help keeping my audience up to date. I appreciate it. And I look
Thank
forward
you.
to the next time we're together.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Guy.